Well, good morning, everyone, and I hope you had a very Merry Christmas yesterday with family or friends or even by yourself. But I hope you got a chance to worship and focus on the Lord. And we're so thankful for those of you who are here in person and those of you watching online today as the season of Christmas continues. But let's begin today as we always do with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, let's stand together and let's continue to sing some of the songs of Christmas.
Shepherds feared and trembled. To the Lord's.
truly, we serve an amazing God. Amen. In this season, we experience the wonder of how Jesus came, such an unusual and yet beautiful way God came into the world to show his love to us. So at this time of year, we think about giving. And at the first Christmas, the gifts were given to Jesus. And so we should continue that tradition with our tithes and offerings going to him. So you can give as you go today with the plates at the back. Also online, you can give at fairmeadowchurch.org by clicking the Give Today button. There's even a donate button on our Facebook page if you'd rather give there, or you can mail it in. But we appreciate your faithfulness and your stewardship during this time of year. As we go to prayer, we need to be praying for Norma Goff. She did end up in the hospital on Christmas Day. And so they're trying to discover why she's falling so much at home and elsewhere. So they're doing tests on her at the hospital. So please pray for her. Pray for any who are traveling during this season, especially with the rapid spread of the Omicron variant of the virus. And just pray that all of our families will be safe and recovering. Continue to pray for the Wormsbecker family as they are dealing with a positive COVID test in their family. But things are looking good so far, so we're praising God and thankful for that. So as we go to prayer, Joy is going to lead us to the throne of grace.
I ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes wherever you are, either here or online. And let us just be grateful for all that God has given us. Each one of us has received the wonderful gift of the Christ child. And we are so blessed, and we give thanks. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you grateful for this opportunity to gather together, to hear your word proclaimed, to sing songs, give thanks, and offer prayer. Father, we know that you are ever with us, guiding, guarding, and taking care of us. And Lord, we just praise you for the gift of Jesus. And we know that he was sent here as a gift for each and every one of us, and we accept that gift. Father, I give thanks for this choices that have been made by some friends and family, maybe to step a little bit closer to you, Lord, and to accept your Son as their Lord and Savior. We rejoice in that, and we ask that you lead us and guide us. Give us the words to say, the ears to hear, and may each one of us be an example to others of what Jesus can do for us. Father, we pray for those that are in pain, physical pain this day. We know that in our midst and online, there are those who are not feeling quite up to par, have aches and pains and so forth that maybe make them change their activities somewhat. Father, I pray for your gift of healing, and may each one of us who needs that touch be open and receptive. I pray especially for Norma this morning. I pray that you will be with the doctors and the caretakers, and Father, that they will have some resolution to the things that are going on in her body that are causing her distress. We pray for her safety and well-being, and we know that she believes in divine healing. And Father, I ask that you touch her, and may she be healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her toes. We know that you care for this lady, and you have led her and guided her. And protect Chester, Lord. And we just ask for a right resolution in their lives. And they have decisions they need to make. And I pray that you will be with them, and they will accept your guidance and recognize it as such. I pray for others. I pray for the Wormsbecker family. I pray for Delia and others that have been going through some trying physical times. Father, we know that there is much disagreement and some discouragement around the world in the way the situation is right now. We pray for a divine lifting of that. I pray that friends and family will once again show their love for each other and agreement. And Father, I pray for each person that is taking a step towards being more closely related to you. Dear Lord, I give thanks for our pastor. I pray for his physical well-being. I give thanks for the fact of his time spent in study and his time spent in prayer, not just for one of us, but for all of us. Father, we love you so very much, and this is a joyous Christmas season. The beautiful trees, the beautiful decorations, and it's a happy time, and we give thanks for that. And Father, I pray that you will be with each and every person that is listening or viewing this service. I pray that your homes will be blessed and that you will put the Lord at the head of your family. We give thanks for your forgiveness, and we give thanks for your guidance. Father, I pray for the pastor as he brings us our service. May our hearts be open and receptive to all that he is bringing this day. And we just give thanks for the changes that it will bring in our lives. Father, we love you so very much. And as we grow closer to you, we give thanks for all your many blessings. And it's in your Son's holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.
Okay, at this time, let's turn our attention to God's Word. And we'll be in Luke chapter 2 again, but jumping ahead to verse 41. And let's stand in honor of God's Word. Luke 2, beginning at verse 41. Open your heart to the Word of the Lord. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Well, I'm sure you're aware now of the movie called Home Alone, right? Maybe some of you are too young to know about it, or it's too far back in your memory. But in this movie, it begins with a family very excited to be going on a special vacation for Christmas time. And as they're worried about luggage and plane tickets and transportation, unfortunately, they forget to pack one thing, right? And that's their son, Kevin. And so you've all seen the poster, you know, when he realizes that he's home alone. Well, hilarious misadventures follow. And please don't actually try any of those stunts at home, right? They look pretty dangerous, actually. Well, in this story, we have another type of situation that's similar, where a parent and a child become separated, and it causes great concern. Today, we find the Holy Family. That's Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And Jesus is no longer a baby in a manger, though. He is 12 years old. That's an interesting age. And among a throng of family and friends, they're making their way to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. And in this sense, they were pilgrims. Pilgrims on a journey to the holy city for a holy purpose. All is right and good with our story so far, as they're doing what a good Jewish family of the time should be doing. God is with them, and they are with God in the fullest sense. It was a holy habit for this family. So what kind of holy habits have you established with your family? These rhythms of life, they help us to stay on track. They help new generations to learn the lessons. The family that plays together is good, very good. But the family that prays together is very blessed as well. The best families invest in their kids while they're small, right? They guide them and teach them the most important lessons. They try to keep those relationships close. And this is important. Nobody's perfect, but giving it your best effort will make a big difference in the life of a child. When questions and rocky territory comes later, you'll have more of a chance of keeping the family together if these early years have been immersed in love and prayer. Because, oh, difficult conversations do come, don't they, along the way of the parenting journey. And they have to, because as we grow and age and new seasons of life arrive, more is called for from all of us. So this morning, you've just been with family. How are things going? If you're going through a time with your children or other family that's like a knife in your heart, hold on, hold on. Things can get better. Keep your wits about you and keep holy habits. Well, because some people who have started on the journey of faith really never put it into practice, but they still hold on to the label of being a Christian. Christian discipleship has become a journey of self-fulfillment with a little God on the side these days. Just enough to make you feel better, just enough to make you feel better than your neighbor, just enough to look down on someone else, but not enough to create any inconveniences in your life. Do we have ears to hear, church? Well, we think we have busy lives and we're out there searching for excitement and meaning. And in this country, we even promise everyone the pursuit of happiness. And this begins to creep into our faith. Sometimes it's quite overtly with preachers promising that God is here to fulfill our wishes. And somehow, trusting God to live boldly in loving ways has become twisted into something else in our time. So where is the line between trusting Jesus so we aren't worried and thinking that we don't need to stay close to him? Do you hear what I'm saying there? There's a line where we're not like constantly worried and wringing our hands about things and about whether God loves us or we love God enough. But then sometimes that just, it becomes a license for people to take their relationship with Jesus completely for granted. So I'm going to ask you a question. Before you start off on your day, how often do you stop and check in and get your marching orders for the day from above? Think about that. Well, a commentator that I like said this about this passage. He said, we mustn't assume that he is accompanying us as we go off on our own business. I think we might have this on a slide, yeah. But if and when we sense the lack of his presence, we must be prepared to hunt for him, to search for him in prayer, in the scriptures, in the sacraments, and to not give up until we find him again. So this morning, the pursuit of happiness is not the same thing as the journey of faith. The journey of faith follows well-worn paths. Eugene Peterson called it this, a long obedience in the same direction. I'm going to say that again. It's a long obedience in the same direction. He has a book by that title, and it's a book on discipleship that's based on what we call the Psalms of Ascent. And those are Psalm 120 through 134. So jot that down and take a look at those Psalms sometime. They offer us some of the greatest promises that God has, that he will bless us in our journey. But it also reminds us that we have to be in contact with God in order to experience those blessings. And so the Psalms of Ascent were often what pilgrims heading to Jerusalem for a festival, they would have been saying them out loud together, perhaps even singing them as they went along. Something like we were singing our Christmas carols this morning. They would have been singing and saying these Psalms of Ascent. It guided their journey ascending up to Jerusalem. It was always up to Jerusalem because it was a fortress city built into a hillside, easy to protect. So these Psalms talk about God's protection, yes, but they also talk about the choices required to truly be on the journey of faith, that journey that is a long obedience in the same direction. And they were pilgrims. They weren't tourists. They weren't headed to Jerusalem on vacation. They were living with purpose. They were heading somewhere specific. And as they were going, their purpose was to worship God. To worship God above all else. So what's the difference between a tourist and a pilgrim? Ask yourself that. And I'm not exactly talking about pilgrims with the funny hats that came over and helped to settle our fair land. But a pilgrim is anyone that's on a spiritual journey. Now, a tourist is just looking to be entertained. And then it's on to the next experience. And they'll fill out a little survey for Travelocity or some other website. But a pilgrim is a committed disciple on a journey of spiritual significance. I'm going to say that again. A pilgrim is a committed disciple on a journey of spiritual significance. And so that's what was going on with this wonderful family as they're on their way to the city to participate in this beautiful festival of the Passover. But something changed along the way. In verse 44, we pick up the story. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. So at some point, they realized they had lost track of Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying there? It's saying a lot. The holy habit of heading to Jerusalem with purpose had drifted into something else on the way home. But at least they understood the gravity of the situation, and they went looking for Jesus. So this morning, that's a word to all of us. If we lose contact with Jesus, stop, right? If you lose contact with Jesus, you are heading in the wrong direction. Amen? Pressing on the accelerator is not going to help you get to where he is. So stop. Take inventory. Here are some questions to ask ourselves if we realize that we feel distant from God and God's ways. Are we living lives of devotion together? Are we in the company of other devoted disciples? Are we doing the things that disciples and pilgrims do? If you need to know what those are, you can check those Psalms of Ascent. You can check Jesus' words in the Gospels, Paul's letters to the churches. Are we in worship and discipleship regularly? Because all of these things and all of these places are good places to find Jesus every day. Of course, you'll also find him among the poor and among those in need. And once we've gained some skill and some spiritual success at living this way, the only way to level up and to keep things going is to begin pouring into someone else's life, helping them to grow. At that point, we who have been discipled begin to disciple someone else. Here's another quote from that commentator. We must expect, too, that when we do meet him again, he will not say or do what we expect. I'm going to say that again. We must expect, too, that when we do meet him again, he will not say or do what we expect, or at least he's likely not to. He must be busy with his Father's work, so must we. Powerful words. Because Jesus is busy every day, but he's not making sure we've got our favorite brand of coffee or enough friends stroking our ego. He's sharing truth. He's bringing people out of darkness and into the light. That's what he came to do. Well, Mary and Joseph found Jesus. It took them 3 days. When they found him, they didn't express regret that they had lost him. And I still don't quite get that. One Sunday when our kids were young, my wife and I had to arrive at church at different times, so we drove separately. Afterwards, we got home, and my wife said, "Where's Rachel?" And I said, "What do you mean? I thought she was with you." Well, what a moment when we realized. So suddenly, we were overtaken with urgency, back to the car, flying back to church. Thankfully, someone had stayed with her, confident we would return. Then, oh, we were so glad. We apologized over and over, and we made a special effort to reassure her. We didn't really forget her. We each thought the other one had her, but we understood how she might feel forgotten. At least that was only a few minutes and not 3 days. But maybe it's because Jesus was older, right? He's 12 here. And maybe it's because after a 3-day search, the facts were getting just a little bit foggy in their minds. As they were feeling desperate, maybe feeling a little bit guilty and wanting to deflect some of that, I don't know. When we're worried, things get foggy. And sometimes we say what we don't mean to say, we do what we don't need to do. They were pilgrims on their way to the city, very focused. What happened to distract them? I don't know. On the way home, did they disconnect and drop their guard and lose focus? And did this contribute to how he ended up being dressed down by them? I mean, here they were, Mary and Joseph, imperfect parents, dressing down Jesus and letting him know that he had made them upset. Whatever the case, Jesus did not say what they expected him to say. Sometimes I think we people get focused on the journey of faith, not because Jesus is hard to understand or follow, but we get focused on and lose our way because we insert our own expectations. Do you hear what I'm saying there? We insert our own expectations into the relationship, especially after it's been going for a while. When you're first forgiven of your sins, you feel so relieved. You're so glad to know that God loves you. You're so glad to know that God's made provision for you and is including you in his family. You would do anything for God at that moment. But do we stay there? If we begin to insert our own expectations for what this will all mean, when we get really comfortable with that process of inserting our own expectations, it blows our mind when reality hits home and God actually has a different agenda than what we've been asking God to do. Are you tracking with me there? We can fall into the trap where for quite a while we've been letting God know what needs to happen instead of listening for how God was trying to lead us. We can find ourselves surprised and shocked, just like Mary and Joseph. There's no way around the truth that Jesus must be about his Father's business. When we first come to faith, we may be immature. We may think it all revolves around us. But as time goes by, God does expect more from us than that. We grow up. We realize there's work to be done. And there's love to be shared. And now as parents, we don't always get it right. That's true. Sometimes our own expectations for our kids create false expectations for those relationships. And sometimes children get it wrong too. Honesty is important in relationships, and that can bring tension at times. And love remains important across the years as we seek to have an ongoing relationship with our kids. Everyone's perspective counts, and everyone's perspective needs to be valued. So Jesus understood that, and although he was in the right, although he was where he should be, he understood his parents' concern. He understood that Mary and Joseph didn't have it all together yet, and hey, he was only 12. He didn't have it all together yet either. But he knew where to be, and he knew when to be there. For these days, it was in the temple, continuing the conversation that had been started by this wonderful festival. But after 3 days, he now knew his place was at home with his family. And so the scripture says he went. The lessons were learned all around, and Mary treasured this up in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Mary and Joseph grew as parents of the Son of God. They were reminded who his real father was. He was the Son of God. So this morning, it's really a simple question. Have you made assumptions about where Jesus is? Have you lost contact with him? Don't assume that Jesus is playing hard to get. Find him pretty easily in the places that he inhabits daily. Because as disciples, we are always choosing a path every day. As pilgrims, we have a destination that's something more than self-fulfillment. We're living out the mission of God. We're trying to bless and love others. We're trying to grow to be more like Jesus together. You've made a good start today. You're in God's house, or you're connecting online where you are. Let's not settle for being tourists on this journey. Let's be about the Father's business. It's Christmas. So as you take some time to relax and enjoy family, remember to stay on the journey of faith. Be a pilgrim this time of year. Find Jesus and keep him close. And may the wonder of this season inspire us all to live well and to love well in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful story from the Word of God. It shows us that this was a very real family, just like ours, where everybody doesn't always see it the same, and yet you can work through it all to bring us to the place where we need to be. And Father, thank you for sending Jesus. And thank you that he extends to us a beautiful invitation, that as he was there in a manger as a baby, showing the innocence and purity of the love of God for all of us, as he was as a 12-year-old boy, seeking to know more, hungry to understand fully who he was as God's son, having an awareness that he was to be teaching others and loving them. I thank you, Lord, that he made the priorities that he needed to make. And Father, I thank you that as a grown man, he did teach. As a grown man, he did invite others to follow. As the Savior, he went all the way to the cross, and he told his disciples they needed to take up their cross and follow. And I thank you that he's offering us forgiveness, newness of life, and a powerful journey to be on every day. With your eyes still closed this morning, understand this. God's up to something big. God wants to save your soul, yes. He wants to save your life. He wants to snatch you out of any darkness that's trying to overtake you and bring you fully into the light. But it's so there will be more light in this dark world. Because believe it or not, there are those who know less than you. Those who are struggling and hurting even more than you. And there is a love in you from Jesus that can change their world. And that's why he came in just the way that he did. He sneaks into one life after another, calling us forward on the journey of faith. So, Father, help us in this moment. Help us to be pilgrims on a journey going toward you and living in ways that honor you. Help us to be loving. Help us to be patient. Help us to speak the truth in love. Help us to hear and receive from others what we can do better. And then help us all to bathe it in prayer. Continue to teach us holy habits at every age and stage. But Lord, let your light continue to shine. And yes, Lord, let the wonder of this season inspire us all to live well and to love well as Jesus has taught us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless all of you. Let's stand together. I hope you're in the middle of a wonderful Christmas, and I hope you still have some time to enjoy and celebrate. But let's say the Apostles' Creed together before we go. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go